US President Joe Biden has just landed in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia on the first ever flight by an American leader from Israel to the kingdom. Biden will meet Saudi King Salman and his heir, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, over his two-day visit. The trip is seen as a chance to smooth relations frayed by Biden's criticisms of Saudi Arabia during his 2020 presidential campaign. On top of the president's agenda in Jeddah will be getting Saudi Arabia to pump more oil to bring down global prices. Biden is also expected to discuss Iran and efforts to prevent Tehran from acquiring nuclear weapons. It's part of a wider drive for greater security cooperation. Well, Biden is expected to make the pitch to regional leaders at a Gulf Cooperation Council meeting in Jeddah on Saturday. Well, joining us now here in the studio is our White House correspondent, Kimberly Halkett. Kimberly, when it comes to Saudi Arabia, then, what really is the main purpose of this visit?
The main purpose of this visit, the main purpose of this trip, really was one thing and one thing only, and that was to talk to the Saudi kingdom to get it to pump more oil to increase supply, and in turn for that to bring down the price of oil, and that would in turn lower the price of energy and fuel in the United States, because right now it's at a record high in the United States. Americans are struggling to fill their vehicles' tanks, and this is a problem for the president. That's why he's here. But we have just heard from the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre. She has been gaggling, as we call it, on Air Force One, and she has said, don't expect any sort of bilateral announcement on oil. In fact, this was echoed by the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan. They were speaking with reporters, and they're saying that they are going to discuss this with the Saudi king. They are going to discuss this with the crown prince, and this is going to be discussed with the GCC plus three in an energy summit that will be taking place on Saturday. So this is enormous. This is the headline right now, is that the main reason the president is coming ultimately to try and get some sort of resolution in these oil prices is likely to not be resolved on this trip. That is a problem for this president.
And given what you say then, how important is this for his domestic audience in the US when you consider how much people are struggling with the cost of fuel and prices?
This is going to be a problem for the president. You have to remember, we are at 41-year highs in terms of inflation, 9.1%. It is higher than anyone predicted. It's higher than the White House expected. Not only that, the president left Washington, and so he's seen as being absent when Americans are struggling. That is not a good look. Add to that, not only is the president not addressing the problem in the eyes of some Americans, but he's got congressional elections looming. So if he doesn't address this, and it now appears we've just heard that he's going to come back empty-handed in terms of resolving this issue, Americans are going to be increasingly frustrated. And for this president, the reason that's a problem is he has low approval ratings. His approval ratings right now are not much higher than another very unpopular president, Donald Trump, who was his predecessor. So he doesn't have much time to bring these ratings up, given the fact that he has these congressional elections in November. His Democratic Party needs to keep control of Congress if they are to continue his legislative agenda.
Okay, well, let's cross over to P.J. Crowley, who's a former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State. He joins us from Alexandria in Virginia. Thanks for being on the program with us as we see these pictures coming live from Jeddah. Let me ask you first then, historically, US presidents have found it difficult to balance what they need with what critics might say are human rights considerations. What would you say to that?
No doubt that presidents have always had to balance real politic on the one hand, and human rights on the other. This visit is no different. As was just said, this visit would not be happening were it not for the crisis in Ukraine. And no doubt, you know, the president needs to find a way to reduce the economic uncertainty here at home. But also, when you look abroad, this trip is very important to long-term sustainment of the international effort to put pressure on Russia. If we're going to continue to apply Russia sanctions against Russia, then over time, energy prices need to come down and energy supply needs to go up. And you can't do that without the cooperation of Saudi Arabia and the other Gulf countries.
So to what extent do you think there are overlapping interests here? What kind of tone would you expect these meetings to actually have?
There are absolutely overlapping interests. Energy is one. This has always been, at one level, a transactional relationship where the Gulf gets security, the West gets energy. That's still true. Obviously, in the backdrop, there is, on the one hand, what to do about Iran. As the president lands in Jeddah, I think he still desires to restore the nuclear deal, but those negotiations appear to have stalled. And the other is not to understate the importance of this direct flight from Jerusalem to Jeddah, that he wants to continue the momentum, to more significantly integrate Israel into the region politically, economically, and militarily.
Well, indeed, a lot of symbolism there, as you say, with that direct flight. I mean, will other issues be on the table at these meetings, such as the U.S. approach to Iran and Russia?
Absolutely. On Iran, it's for example, what can the region do to reduce tensions? There have been some, direct talks between regional leaders and Iranian leaders, including by Saudi Arabia. I'm sure the president will encourage that as well. And the president's also mindful that, while the United States has withdrawn a lot of troops, from the region, he still has to reassure leaders that the United States has the region's back, not only because that's a direct interest to the United States, but also to forestall, geopolitical gains in the region by Russia and China.
Well, indeed. So what will Biden hope to take away from this trip?
I think it's to reassure that while we've reduced our presence in the region, conflict in Iraq has been greatly reduced. The United States has withdrawn from Afghanistan. The United States still has a major security interest in the region and will look for ways to continue to improve the region's capability, to defend itself with support, from the United States. So I think he wants to, among other things, reassure the leaders that that the United States still considers the Middle East important, even as it focuses a great deal of attention on the situation in Russia and China.
I mean, how difficult is it for President Biden to balance what he does internationally with his domestic audience?
Well, they're inseparable. the president is the global leader, but obviously at home, politics does play a role. As was said, he has important midterm elections coming up, and that's going to set the tone for the next 2 years, and also, may be a driving factor in whether he seeks a re-election in 2024. So, he is the world's most powerful leader, but he's always, looking at that, through the context of a domestic political lens.
And as we wait for the president to come off the Air Force One, I mean, a direct flight to Jeddah, how symbolic was that?
it's very, very important. And I think it just underscores that, Joe Biden is making his first trip, to the region as president. And the region has changed dramatically since he made his last trip to the region as vice president. And so I think this will be an opportunity for, him to kind of take stock of that, and that this will definitely shape, U.S. policy for the next months and years.
Has U.S. policy changed that much, though, over the years, when you consider the successive trips to the region from different presidents?
There's always great continuity, in terms of U.S. interests in the region. You know, what has changed is the United States has far fewer troops in harm's way today in the region. That's actually very important. You know, and the other is this aspect of normalization of relations, you know, with the region, with specific countries. And obviously, that's where the interaction between Joe Biden and Mohammed bin Salman will be vitally important, you know, to the extent that Saudi Arabia, you know, continues to inch towards a closer relationship, a more overt relationship, you know, with Israel. It will be Mohammed bin Salman that ultimately makes that decision as to what the nature of the Israeli-Saudi relationship will be.
Okay, PJ Crowley, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State, thank you very much for that today here on Al Jazeera. We're going to bring in our White House correspondent, Kimberly Halkett, again as we see the president here meeting dignitaries here at Jeddah, live pictures for us. I mean, Kimberly, it's not that long ago that he was pledging to make the kingdom a pariah. So how does he square that with what we can see here now?
Well, in fact, this is a question that was asked of the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, and she had a very straightforward answer. She said that this was a strategic decision by the president to make this trip, that the president has always been very straightforward and candid when it comes to discussing the issue of human rights, and that this trip will be no different, that the president will not shy away from bringing up these issues, that he believes in direct diplomacy, but at the same time, he also doesn't believe in discussing this in the press. And so any sort of difficult discussion, she said, will be held behind closed doors. And so what she's talking about specifically is the uncomfortable conversation that could take place between the U.S. president and the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, given the fact that U.S. intelligence, namely the CIA, has suggested in its report that he may have ordered the killing of the Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi back in 2018. And so this is what the U.S. media has been heavily focused on. They're watching very carefully to see the interactions between the Crown Prince and also the U.S. president. The White House has said that they are focused on meetings, not greetings, but still, will it be a handshake? Will we even get to see it? There's been a lot of speculation that this might even be hidden from the media. There's been a lot of vagueness about this, and so there's a bit of uncertainty. What we can tell you, though, again, is that when it comes to this relationship, this is one that goes back decades. The U.S. president has defended this. In fact, he did so in an editorial in the United States. He believes that there is strategic value, and he believes that that is what he is going to do, is to reassert U.S. interests at a vital time for security reasons, that he is going not to disrupt policy, and there may be some disruption as a result of this incident that I'm referring to, but at the same time, he believes that the time now is not to recalibrate that relationship, but instead to get it on track.
Okay, Kimberly Halkett, for now, thank you for that. As we continue to see those pictures of the president of the United States arriving in Jeddah there. He's expected to have a bilateral meeting with King Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud at the Al Salam Royal Palace, and then participate in a working session with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and Saudi ministers. Of course, we'll bring you more on this as we get it here on Al Jazeera. Now, before leaving for Saudi Arabia, President Biden travelled to the occupied West Bank. Biden promised aid for Palestinian hospitals. He told the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, that the time was not yet right to try to restart a peace process with the Israelis. However, he reminded his hosts that he had been one of the earliest supporters of a two-state solution.
My commitment to that goal of a two-state solution has not changed in all these years. Two states along the 1967 lines were mutually agreed to swaps remain the best way to achieve equal measure of security, prosperity, freedom, and democracy for the Palestinians as well as Israelis. The Palestinian people deserve a state of their own that's independent, sovereign, viable, and contiguous. You know, there must be a political horizon that the Palestinian people can actually see or at least feel. We cannot allow the hopelessness to steal away the future that so many have worked toward for so long. So even if the ground is not ripe for, at this moment, to restart negotiations, the United States and my administration will not give up on trying to bring the Palestinians and Israelis and both sides closer together.
Well, joining us now here in the studio in Doha is Al Jazeera's senior political analyst, Marwan Bishara. Marwan, let me ask you then, in terms of his wider trip to the region, there was very little political substance when it comes to the Palestinian struggle, which many would say or describe as a form of apartheid.
Absolutely. In terms of Palestine, he just tried to sweet-talk his way out of the paralysis that exists there. He also sweet-talked his way with the Israelis, but there was much more substance to his visit to Israel, while his visit to the Palestinian territories was more symbolic. It was a bit puzzling to me why he spoke so much about cancer and very little about the health of the Palestinian people in general and the cancerous occupation that they're under. But clearly, there were a lot of sweet words, but very little action in the way of changing what we call apartheid. Apartheid means a systematic structural violence against the Palestinians day in and day out.
In fact, you mentioned the hospitals. At one point, he was confronted by a nurse who was calling for more dignity for Palestinians. And, well, he turned his head away, didn't he?
Well, because, in fact, he said before that, he said, ask me questions, but only about hospitals. I think Joe tends to confuse himself with Jill. Jill, his wife, is the doctor. He's not a doctor. He's the president. He's not supposed to be answering questions about hospitals and cancer. He's supposed to be answering questions about American policy that has failed the Palestinians over the past 50 years. He's supposed to be taking questions from hospital staff, if you will, about the health of the Palestinian people and their dignity, not the dignity of patients. It's fine, dignity of patients in hospitals are important, but what about the dignity of the Palestinian people?
Let me ask you this, Sam. In successive visits to the region from different US presidents, but has anything changed down the years?
Well, I think what's important is to look at the past 50 years when the junior senator from Delaware, Biden, came to the region in 1973. That's 50 years ago, right? The three things, the three headlines were Israel, oil, and the Cold War. Well, guess what? 50 years later, several wars later, it is Israel, oil, and the Cold War, which really goes a long way to underline a failure of sort, both for American policy, but also for the region. Because the region today, after decades of suffering from war and violence, it is still the home of some third of the world's violent conflict, while the population of the region is only 5% of the world population.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Senior political analyst Marwan Bishara, thank you very much indeed for that.